So we have Gloria coming up here. She's got three kids. And in the midst of all that, she's got like a less than 1 year old, 10 month old. She's willing to put together some thoughts about what God's been teaching her with parenting under grace.
So I am really excited about this topic. I feel like this is something that I've had to learn a lot, parenting, probably most of us have. I think a lot of parents, we struggle with feeling guilty. And one of my prayers for my kids has been that I want them to know God's grace and I want them to love God's grace. And what I've realized these 7 years of parenting is that if I'm going to impart grace to my kids, I need to first be under grace. So we need to give ourselves grace first as parents so that we can give our children grace. Okay, so I just figured I'd take this opportunity to show off my family. This is my 7-year-old Max. He is, that picture pretty much describes his personality right now. He's wild and crazy, strong-willed or spirited, as some would like to call. This is my 5-year-old Wyatt. He's also pretty strong-willed. He's sweet, too. They're all great. And then here's my little baby girl. So God blessed us this year with, a little girl. So I'm really thankful for this. And this is something that, especially with having it going through the baby stage again, learning about being under grace, because it is really hard. We feel like we don't know what we're doing half the time. We make mistakes. How do we get under grace in what God has given us to do? So yes, I want to share my burden and what God has taught me these years about being under grace as a parent. So what is our job as mothers or as fathers? I got a quote from this book, A Mother's Heart. Jean Fleming says, if you're a mother, you have a calling from God. God entrusted into your care a life, a future, a piece of what the world will become. Wow, this is awesome. God has given us a calling. This is a big deal. Being a mother is not something that we just take lightly. I mean, this is big. He's called us to a huge responsibility and entrusted us with tiny humans that we're going to raise who are going to change the world, hopefully, and be, good, productive members of society. This is big. This weighs on us. This can be, difficult to handle, this kind of task that God's put before us. Part of this task, too, is not just that, we raise good, productive citizens, but that we teach them about God and his love and his grace. In Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7, it says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. So this is a huge part of the calling that God has given us, to teach our kids about who God is. One of the things I like to do is, it's a beautiful day outside. We go outside. We're like, look at this awesome day that God has given us. This beautiful day. We bring God into their lives daily. This is a big call. And I think sometimes we misplace what our role is and what God's role is. And I think that this is a lot of the times what leads us to feeling guilty as moms, is that we think that the things that only God can do are things that we're trying to do for our kids, and we're not able to do them. And so we have to come under God's grace so our children can be under his grace. We have to understand what God says about us so that we can do this job that he's given us, this calling that he has for us. So what is grace? I'm kind of coming from a point where I assume that most people here have heard of this, but if you have not, I'm going to explain what grace is. It is a free gift from God, Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. So grace is something that we don't deserve, something that God has freely given us, and it's that he saved us. We are alienated from God because we're messed up. I think we probably realize how messed up we are once we become moms, right? And so God says, here's this free gift I want to give you. You're not perfect. You're never going to be perfect. And so I'm going to send my son to die for you. We can't take credit for this. We've done nothing to deserve it. This is what grace is, this free gift that God's given us. And once we have accepted this, who we are changes. We have a new identity in Christ. This is probably review for a lot of people too, but it's good to be reminded. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we're no longer identified by our failings, by the ways that we mess up, by the ways that we maybe hurt our kids or get angry, you know, irritated, yell at them. Those things are not what define us. We're defined by who Christ is. Those things, you know, were nailed to the cross when Jesus died. And God says, I don't look at you and look at your failings. I look at you and I see my Son who I love. And that's where what our identity is. Our adequacy is in Christ. I'm assuming most of us probably want to feel good about ourselves. I know I want to feel good about myself, but I'm also a sinner and I messed up. And in 2 Corinthians 3:5, Paul talks about this and he says, it's not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. So we don't need to worry about trying to be this good enough mom to be qualified for this job, because he says you're qualified because of who Christ is. That's what gives us a qualification. We also, our value is in Christ when we've accepted this free gift. You know, we take our value probably from a lot of the things, from, you know, our performance, from how we feel like we're doing. Am I good enough at this? Am I not? We think our value is in what we do. But under grace, it says that you're valuable because God loves you. In 1 John 3, the beginning of 1, he says, see what great love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are God's children. We know how precious our children are to us, right? I mean, we love them. We would do anything for them. God says, you are my children. I love you. You are so valuable to me, so valuable that I sent my Son to die for you. And then in Ephesians 2:10, we're God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We're his masterpiece. You know, you make a painting. I'm not an artist, but you know, I'm sure when you make a painting, you're like, wow, look at this masterpiece. Although, you know, when my kids make paintings, even though it's like splattered, you're like, oh my gosh, this is like the most precious thing ever. I'm keeping this forever. It's just this like, oh, only they could do this. So it's like God made each of us uniquely. And he looks at us, he says, this is my unique masterpiece. That is who you are. So these things are all true of us under grace. Okay. Maybe we already knew this, but when it comes to parenting, somehow these things just fly out the window. Maybe we didn't grow up in great homes and we feel like there is a lot on the line here. You know, this is a difficult call. God's given us a huge call. And so we immediately forget grace and say, pressure is on me. You know, parenting is hard. We make mistakes. We get irritated. You know, we want to take credit for when things are good, right? When we have great days, I'm awesome. I am a sweet parent. And then the next day, everything's falling apart and you're like, I can't do this anymore. I'm in over my head. I feel terrible about myself. You know, we forget that we have this firm identity and foundation that is never going to change. We want to take our identity from how people view us as parents. We're going to talk more about this in a minute. Yeah, we feel good or bad about ourselves depending on the day, depending on how things went that day. And we feel like our value comes from whether we've succeeded or failed as a parent. Oh, the perfect mother. Look, everything in life is in balance. She's, you know, she's looking good. She's got her high heels on. She's also working out while she's driving her kids to soccer practice and holding her perfectly happy baby. She's also obviously engaged with the baby because she's playing a doll and she's cooking bacon and working. We also need to add this here. We got our Bible. So, you know, this is what we want to be. We want to be these moms that got everything together. We've got our word time. We're making it to home church. We've always got great insight. I do just want to say that I did cook bacon while breastfeeding. I just feel like I need to throw that out there. But, okay, so besides the point. This is what, you know, the perfect mom. We want to have everything together in our lives, right? Except we probably usually feel like this. Mom guilt is real. If I can't do it all, I must be doing it all wrong. My house is a mess. My kids are a mess. I don't even know the last time I bathed them. I'm a mess. You know, I must be doing it all wrong. We blame ourselves when we feel like things are falling apart. And aren't perfect. And then we also, you know, on the other side of this, we probably want to take credit for things when they are going well. And there's just so much pressure. We have a lot of pressure on us from moms. Society, media, our friends, our family, they all are communicating to us what a good mom should do, what a good mom shouldn't do. And then we feel like we've got all these expectations to meet these standards and the pressure of society and what everyone's telling us. And it leads to feeling guilty. And so I think a lot of the times mom guilt, or being guilty parent, not just mom guilt, also is a result of being under the law. And so what I mean by this is that we are basing our sense of value, our sense of worth, who we are, on what we do, on how good we are. It's a performance mentality. And this oftentimes leads us away from grace. Well, it does lead us away from grace and leads us to feeling guilty because we're focused on our performance. So we're going to look at some differences between parenting under law and parenting under grace. So are you parenting under grace or law? I feel like this is probably one of the biggest, for me at least, I don't know about for you guys, but one of the biggest things that gets me is under law we say, am I better? Or am I worse than other parents? And we're also got, you know, something like, what do people think about me? Do they think I'm doing a good job or not? So we want to compare ourselves to other people. Okay, we've got a room full of moms here, right? We're like, okay, am I like at the top? Am I like one of the better moms in the room? Or am I at the bottom? Or am I like in the middle? So I don't have to feel like too bad about myself. But like, okay, I probably could do better. You know, what? Here's a good question to ask yourself. What do you think when you hear about another mom? You hear about another mom failing. Are you like, oh man, I knew it. I knew that she was like messed up. Or like, oh man, like I never like struggle like that. Or I'm glad I'm not like that mom. That is law. That's saying that we are, you know, our value comes in how we compare to other people. This is that is living under the law that says we're only worth how good we are compared to others. What about when you hear a positive thing about a mom who's, you know, kicking butt? Does that immediately lead us to feel like, man, I can't do those things. I must not be good at this. I must not be doing a good job. Why can't I handle the same things? And so Paul says, comparing yourself is pretty foolish. In 2 Corinthians 10:12, he says, we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they can measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. So law says, compare yourself. You're only as good as how you stand up to the person next to you. But grace says, so what they're missing is this part. Grace says that our comparison is pointless. We all sin and we all need God's grace. And not only that, we here are part of an awesome community. We're on the same side. We don't need to be comparing ourselves and making ourselves feel bad. You know, maybe you ended up feeling bad because you're like, I can't breastfeed and cook bacon. Maybe I put you under law and, you know, sorry. Just kidding. Sorry. You know, but we need to be on the same side. So under this grace mentality, I think when we hear, you know, a parent struggling, it doesn't lead us to judge them and think like, I'm better. It says, you know what, I want to help this person. I know the struggles of parenting. We all are messed up. We all have our different issues, the things we're good at, the things that we struggle with. When we hear about a mom struggling, we want to go help that mom, not judge that mom. When we hear about a mom who's kicking butt and doing awesome, we're like, this is sweet. I want to encourage her. You want to encourage the mom that's struggling too. This is we're in a team here. This isn't a race to who's better than someone else. We're all on the same playing field because all of us are going to struggle as moms. All of us are imperfect. And so comparison is really pointless. It doesn't mean anything. It's an arbitrary standard because God says the standard is here and everyone has not met that. So why does it matter to compare to each other? And yet this is something we do all the time. So it's a good reminder. Under law, man, this one gets me too. I'm responsible for my kids' behavior and how they act is a reflection of me. Man, I was just struggling with this, like, right when I was like, hey, you're going to teach on grace. I'm like, awesome. Like, I feel like I've learned so much. And then God's like, here, why don't you learn some more? And I was like, my older son started in second grade, and I was so excited for him to go back to school. And then it was just like, I felt like a nightmare. I was like, his behavior was like out of control. He was getting in trouble at school. At home, he was horrible. And my thought was just like, okay, I'm doing something that's causing this. Like, I'm not doing the right thing. You know, him acting out is obviously like showing everybody that I'm not a good mom. And so we take our kids' choices, our kids' behavior, and we make that a definition of who we are, which is what the law says. Grace says, my kids are going to make mistakes. They're imperfect just like me, and they need grace. And so I feel like this is something I've also learned and tried to implement, is that when my kids' sin comes out, when they are acting in a way that is not okay and wrong, I try to use that as an opportunity to show them that they need forgiveness just like I do. Instead of trying to make it about me, I'm like, I know that my kids are going to sin. You know, I know who their dad is. Like, they're definitely going to be like sinning crazy kids. Okay, that's just like what the cards I've been handed. So I know that, and I need to like use that to push them to the cross. Okay, this is an opportunity for me to show my kids they need grace. We really don't want kids who are just good performers. We want our kids to not misbehave, because like sometimes it's inconvenient or it makes us look bad. But if we have kids that are just constantly performing, are they ever going to get their need for God's grace? This is like crucial. We kind of want our kids to fail sometimes. We want them to be able to know that they need to be forgiven. And so if we just want these kids that never misbehave because we don't want to look bad, they're never going to realize how much they need God's grace. So under law, it says, am I doing things right or wrong? I was thinking about this because I feel like there's so much like parenting books, stuff out there that makes you think, if you do this or don't do this, you are going to mess up your kid for the rest of their life. Okay? If you parent in that way, your kid is going to be messed up. They're going to have all these problems for the rest of their life. Do this, do the right thing, and everything is going to turn out right. Okay, so we get this. This is fear-based, okay? We get it kind of under fear, like, am I doing the wrong thing? Am I going to mess my kid up for the rest of their life? You know, it makes us feel like the weight of our kid's success or failure is all on our shoulders. I remember feeling like this, maybe probably a lot of you do too, when you had your first baby. They send you home from the hospital. At least I felt this way, and I was just like, I don't know what to do. Am I supposed to do this? I felt like this constant weight and guilt and pressure of like, I have to figure out the right thing. And what if I'm not doing the right thing? And I felt like I was always asking like, is this right? Is that right? How do you do this? How do you like, when they're crying, what do you do? Like, they won't take a bottle. They won't, you know, everything felt like this weight and pressure on me to do everything right for my kid. And this is the law. It says, you know what? Yeah, everything, if things are gonna turn out good, it is on you. It is based on our performance. That's what the law tells us, and I think that's a lot of what society tries to tell us too. That is not what God tells us. That is not what grace tells us. The grace mentality has this recognition that love covers a multitude of sin. So I was trying to think about what's the opposite of like doing things right. You know, we're not so focused on everything. We have to do everything right because we know we're never going to do everything right. And so we know that the most important things is that we love our kids. If we are genuinely striving to love our kids, honestly, I feel like the mistakes that we make, we're going to mess up. It's not going to be that big of a deal because we love our kids, and love covers a multitude of sin. We don't have to be so focused on, am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? Is my kid going to be messed up forever because of me? We say, you know what? I'm under grace. I'm going to show my kid love. I'm going to love to the best of my ability. God's going to take care of them. This is not a pressure that is on me to make sure that my kid turns out good or bad based on my performance. This is also something I've struggled with as well, this next one, that law. I'm not able to do the things I was before. I should be able to handle it all. You know, after we can't compare our lives before we had kids and we were single or whatever to after we have kids. It's illogical. You've literally been entrusted with an entire life to take care of. Like, this is a huge responsibility, as we talked about at the beginning. We can't compare that to before we had kids. I mean, I think I still have really struggled with this. Because we take our identity in the things that we're able to do. We feel good about ourselves, you know, based on the things we're able to do. And now I'm spending a lot of times like changing diapers and breastfeeding or, you know, cooking food and cleaning. And so just like, man, this is what I do. Like, is this important? Does this matter? And we start to feel bad about ourselves because we think we need to take on all these other tasks, and we're really forgetting, you know, what God has given us and where our identity actually stands. So our identity and our value under grace are secure in Christ. It's not about what we do. It's not about, you know, trying to take on the same things we did before, but it's about being under grace. So three kids, each kid I got a little bit more emotional. So I'm going to really try not to cry during this quote, but this gets me. So I'm just giving a little warning. All right. So parenting under law says I can't do this job. I'm not good enough for this. And that really is what the law tells us. It tells us that if you're a good mom, it's based on how good you perform, how well you do at this job. And if you're not doing a good job, if you're making mistakes and messing up, then you're not good enough to be a mom. That's what the law tells us. And I remember praying to God when I had a crazy two-year-old and a little baby, and this two-year-old is a strong-willed two-year-old, and I just like prayed like, God, I think that you made a mistake. I am not strong enough to handle this. Like, I really think that you made a mistake, like thinking that I could take this on because I can't. And then I read this quote from Jean Fleming. Okay, I'll try to read it. If not, I'll make someone else read it. God chose your family as the best environment for your child's development. He chose you as his mother. God has a plan for your child, and you can be his partner through prayer and planning. Okay, sorry. It's just powerful. It's good. It gets me. So the law, it's based on what you do. Grace, like, man, God knew you were messed up. He knew your failings as a mom. He's like, I'm putting this kid here because I know that this is the right place for this child. And the grace mentality knows we're not in this alone. We actually are God's partner. He's the one doing the work in our kids' lives. And we get to come behind him through prayer and planning and have an awesome role in our kids' lives. So, okay, what about dealing with actual failure? Sometimes we really do sin as parents. I have been here many times in tears over, you know, times that I have unrighteously yelled at my kids, lost my temper, and felt, I know that what I did was wrong, okay? So how do we deal with our actual failure? The law says that we're defined by these, that failure is who we are. If we are messed up, then that's who we are, and it's going to leave us in a defeated state because we're not ever going to be able to live up to the standard of perfection. So we might as well just admit it now. We're failure and we always will be. Or if you don't want to have that mentality, I don't, you could come under grace. And grace says failure is a reminder of our need for God. And it pushes us towards growing. So under grace, we can say what I did was wrong. I'm not defined by that. I'm not defined by the way that I sinned against my kids. I'm defined by who Jesus says I am. This is from Give Them Grace by Fitzpatrick. She says, we need days of failure because they help humble us, and through them we can see how God's grace is poured out on the humble. We need these days. We need to mess up. We need to come back to our knees to remember, you know, who God is and his grace for us. And, okay, so one of the things I was thinking about this too is with you know, with our real failures and sins as parents, under grace, we can go to our kids and we can apologize. And this is something that I feel like has been very big for me and for my kids. Just 2 weeks ago, in the same day, I yelled at one kid because they were dropping stuff. They hit the baby with something. And I was like, go downstairs. You know, I got so mad. I just was like, oh, another kid. I honestly don't remember what he was doing, but it was also bad. And I got mad at him too. And that in that same day, I was like, okay, I just like yelled at both my kids, made them feel bad for making mistakes. That was wrong. And so I had two, what I felt like were really awesome conversations with them about apologizing for my sin. It's not okay for me to treat you that way. That was wrong what mom did. And I need you to forgive me. You know, we're both messed up. We both need God here. You know, I need God to help me as I'm like trying to learn how to handle these situations that frustrate me. I need his grace and his power to do that. And I felt like they were really actually awesome interactions. And I'm like, I hope that my kids will gain something through my failure. In Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So I'm thinking, you know, okay, God, you can use this. I'm trying to apologize. Like, I know I'm messed up. I want you to use this, and I know that you can, because you are a redemptive God. You can use my sin in my kids' life. You can teach them something. If anything, they're going to know what it looks like to apologize and hopefully try to humbly admit they're wrong as I'm trying to teach them. And I think also under grace with failure, we can seek help. We can seek input. Law says we got to cover up that failure. We got to hide this. If people know about this, they are going to judge you and know the truth that you're a bad mom, right? But grace is like, I am a sinner. I can admit my wrong and I can seek help and I can seek input. We can read books. We can talk to people. We have an awesome community and tons of women here who have raised awesome, godly kids that we can talk to, who can help us. And we should really just, dealing with our failure, we really just need to be thankful for this community. This is an awesome community we have, and it's a resource we have to be able to speak into each other's lives and help each other in our parenting. So if we're under law on our parenting, it's going to lead us to feeling guilty, or it's going to lead us to feeling proud. We're going to think we're better than other people. It probably won't last for long, because if we're under law, we're going to fail, but we're trying to feel good about ourselves based on what we do is essentially what this is. Under grace, we have a freedom from pressure, and it leads us to trusting God. The weight of our kids going to turn out good or bad is lifted from us. Okay, sorry, this is a little messed up, but basically the point is, if we view ourselves under law or under grace, it is going to affect the way that we interact with our kids. It's going to affect their understanding of God's grace and their sin. They're going to learn from our example. The chances are, if we're under performance mentality, we're probably putting our kids under performance mentality. If we are judging other people and trying to make ourselves feel better about ourselves by looking down on others, our kids are going to pick up on that, and that's probably what they're going to do too. So we do have an influence here. And so we need to try to come under grace if we want to communicate God's grace and love to our kids. In Fitzpatrick's book again, she said, the children who actually end up performing better are those who understand that their relationship with God doesn't depend on their performance, but on Jesus' performance for them. With the right mixture of fear and guilt, I can get my three children to obey in the short term, but my desire is not that they obey for 5 minutes or even for 5 days. My desire is that they obey for 50 years. The point is that grace is the motivator. Grace is what motivates change. It's what motivates us to change. It's what motivates our kids to change. Law is going to either lead to short-term results, or it's going to end up in crazy, rebellious children. Law is not going to get the results that we want. So if we're under law as parents, that is going to put that on our kids. If we're under grace, that frees us from that weight, knowing that God is at work in their life, and that is what the actual motivator is for our kids. So we need to understand God's role versus our role, because sometimes we put God's role on ourselves, and it weighs us down, makes us feel bad about ourselves. So in Psalm 127, 1, David says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Unless God works, my best efforts are in vain. God must do the real work in my home." If anything, this should drive us to our knees. We should be praying daily to God to take care of our kids, to help us in our parenting. He is the one who's going to do the real work. It's not on us. So let's look a little bit more at this. God, I think we need to remember God created our children and that he loves them. He loves them more than we love them. He wants what's best for them more than we want what's best for them. David is talking about how God created him. He says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." God knit together each one of our kids. He created them. He loves them as his children. We need to remember this. He is the, you know, our kids' biggest fan. He wants what's best for them. He is intimately involved in our kids' lives. God is the one who can change our kids' hearts. It can't be us. I had an incident with my oldest, and some people were telling him they didn't like some stuff he was doing. He was doing a lot of like potty talk and stuff like that. So we talked about it, and I was just like, you know, I think that you really might need to try to change in this area. And it was just arguing, and I kind of walked away feeling like defeated, like, man, like, he's not listening to me. Like, how am I supposed to like get this kid to understand this? Like, he won't listen to me. I can't get him to like understand that like what he's doing is wrong and it's going to hurt people. Well, I mean, I can't change his heart. That's not my role as a mom. It's God's role. And I prayed about it, and I'm sure not every situation is going to be like this. And 2 days later, he came back to me, and he was like, "Mom, you know that stuff we were talking about?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "You were right. I do need to change." And I was like, what? I was like, oh my God, like God is working in my kid's life. Like, this is so awesome to see this. And so we were just like, I was like, let's pray about this. Like, let's pray that God can help you change. Now, I don't know if he totally changed, like, you know, he's young, but you know, there were some changes that were made maybe for the short term, but it was still cool to see that God really, I feel like, ministered to his heart. That wasn't on me. I couldn't do it. If I'm trying to, like, if we're trying to do that, we're going to feel bad about ourselves. We're not going to be able to get our kids' hearts in the place that we want them. That is God's role. We have to trust him for this. This is why prayer is so important. God is the one who's going to create a spiritual hunger. We can set up an environment for our kids to love God. You know, we can teach them things. But this is really ultimately God's role. And we have to think about probably for ourselves as well. You know, God pursued us. He created this hunger in us. He used people. God uses people. But it's not that maybe the people that were in our life, it was on them to change our hearts or to create a spiritual hunger in our life. It was God pursuing us through different avenues to get us to want to come to him. And so this is his role, is to bring them to faith. We teach our kids. We love our kids. We do the things that we can, but these things are on God, not on us. So what's our role? We mothers must take care of the possible and trust God for the impossible. We're to love, affirm, encourage, teach, listen, and care for the physical needs of the family. This is from Ruth Graham. I have no idea where it came from. I got it from Cindy Body, so sorry. Anyway, so our role as moms, got a list here. First is to express love. In the book of Mother's Heart, she talks about how we kind of put skin on God for our kids. That, you know, they can't see God, right? So we get to put the skin on God by how we love them. And so we get to express this love and show them God's love tangibly through our interactions with our kids. This is really like teaching our kids that they have value, that we that they are loved and accepted. And this is probably a lot of the reasons why a lot of us maybe go to the law, is we kind of misplace our value, misplace our acceptance. So we want to give them an environment where they know they are loved and know that they are accepted. We want to praise them. We want to affirm them. We want to hug them and kiss them and show them how much we love them. But this also includes discipline. We need to discipline our kids. This is a part of God's grace and God's love for us. He says he disciplines the ones he loves. This is also a really big part of our role of expressing love. If we don't discipline our kids, that's not what biblical love is. And this is really important for our kids to know what is right or wrong. We need to keep them safe. We need to set boundaries. Discipline is also going to help to show them their need for God's love as well. And so this is important. It is the loving, affirming, and it is also being a disciplinary. These things are not on like opposite ends that like that's hard love. These things are all a part of expressing love for our kids. Pray. If we believe those things are true, that God has this huge role in our kids' lives, we got to pray as moms. We cannot take on this role by ourselves. We have to do this in faith, knowing that God is working hard in our kids' lives urgently. I mean, this world is crazy. I feel like that. I'm just like, Lord, I need you to be taking care of my kids and protecting them. We need to do this daily without ceasing for our kids. We need to not just say, God, help me do these things in my kids' lives, but God, I want to get behind what you are doing in my kids' lives. I want to be on the same page with you and how you are trying to work with my kid. We need to enjoy being a mother. I'm not saying that this means we never struggle, because we're going to struggle. We're going to have days where we feel exhausted, we feel bad, we're crying, but it doesn't mean that, you know, we still enjoy our kids and still enjoy the role that God has given us. This is a gift from God. Children are a gift from the Lord. They're a reward from him. Psalms 127, we need to enjoy this reward that God has blessed us with. And I think, you know, if you feel like you resent your kids, that's probably a sign that you're under law. Grace really views this as a gift and a blessing from God. And my mother-in-law told me when she came home from the hospital with her first, she said she got the best piece of advice from the doctor. He said, babies are to enjoy. Take this baby home and enjoy her. And she said that was like, yeah, that was the best piece of advice she ever got from anyone about being a mother, is that kids are to enjoy. And that's what they are. They're a reward and a gift to us. So we need to enjoy this job that we have. We need to provide a warm, happy home. We want our kids to feel, you know, loved and accepted. We want them to feel safe in our house with us. This is also providing memories, going out and doing fun things with our kids, reading to them, helping them build their imagination and creativity. You know, some of us have probably different giftings in this area than others. I like to make cookies with my kids. That's a fun, happy home experience for me. But, you know, we can do this in different ways. And you build memories with our kids that they're going to look back and be like, man, that was awesome when I used to do that with my family. And this is based on, you know, what we're able to do. And then ministering to our kids' needs as we're able, physical and emotional. I think as we're able is important because we are not God for our kids. We cannot meet every emotional need for our kids. And honestly, probably part of this is sometimes we do need to push our kids to learn from God. Maybe when you have super young kids, this is more of like a taxing thing on us. But I feel like as my kids have gotten older, it's not that I'm just like, just go deal with your emotions with the Lord. I try to help teach them how to like take these things to God, pray through stuff. But I'm teaching them to not just be like solely dependent on me to meet all of their emotional needs, but them learning how to do that as well. So, all right, so just a couple more quick points on being under grace frees us to show our kids grace. So when we're able to separate ourselves from God's role, realize, okay, we have a role that we do imperfectly. We do it under grace because we're not defined by how good we are. We're defined by God. We're going to try. We're going to pray. We're going to get God involved. And that's, you know, that's being under grace. We're free to show our kids grace. So again, hopefully you can tell that this is something I'm trying to stress. We need to pray. Being under grace means we pray. We get God involved with what we're doing as parents. We have a calling from God that is bigger than what we can handle. So we get God to pray, or we get God involved by praying. You know, three kids, I can't think straight anymore. Okay. We need to be patient. Okay, this is something I feel like I've been learning about too. I'll share that in a second though. So being patient, this means that we're not surprised by our kids being sinners. We know they're going to sin. They're going to mess up. We should not be surprised by this. Keller has a book, and I did not read the whole book. I honestly just found this quote, and I thought it was awesome, so I put it in here. So I can't say that I know much about this book, but maybe someone else does. So in Keller's book, he says, the graceless home requires kids to be good and gets angry and punishes them when they're bad. The grace-based home assumes kids will struggle with sin and helps them learn how to tap into God's power and help them get stronger. I really think that this is what patience should look like for us. We're not surprised by our kids' sin. We know they sin. We need to try to push them towards God. Be patient with that. We also need to discipline. Okay, this is where I feel like I recently made a mistake and have learned. I struggle with the patience part. I'm not always good at being patient. That's one of the things my kids like to remind me of, is that I need to work on being more patient. So I was like praying about this. Okay, I want to be able to be a more patient mom. I feel like this is really an important value that I really want to like work towards. But then I started making this fatal flaw. I started viewing patience as not being a disciplinary. I just need to be more patient with my kids and like give them more chances. And it ended up not working because I ended up getting angrier later, because discipline and patience aren't separated. Even though we're patient and not surprised by our kids' sin, that doesn't mean we don't discipline them. Discipline is not like an angry thing. It should be an act of love. And so I think I was like misunderstanding that and came to some good conclusions on like why things were not working out so well when I was trying that. But so patience and discipline are not separate. We still discipline under grace as we're patient with our kids' sin. This is also from Keller's book. It's not that grace-based homes don't take their children's sin seriously, nor is it that grace-based homes circumvent consequences. It isn't even that grace-based homes do nothing to protect their children from attacks and temptations that threaten them from the outside. They do all these things, but not for the same reasons. Grace-based homes aren't trusting in the moral safety of their home or the spiritual environment they've created to empower their children to resist sin. They assume that sin is an ongoing dilemma that their children must constantly contend with. So we know that our kids are going to battle with sin. And it's not that we don't take it seriously. We still discipline. We still help them. But we know that, you know, they have God working in them as well. So it's not defeating, I guess, or yeah. So we also, under grace, we want to teach our kids that their identity is in Christ, not in their choices. We don't want our kids to think, you did a bad thing, you are bad. You did a good thing, you are good. That goes back to the law. We want to teach our kids that they are secure in Christ, that their choices are not what defines our children, but that Christ died for them, and so that they can be defined by that. This is also from Keller. Children in a grace-based family are accepted as sinners who desire to become more like Christ, rather than be seen as nice Christian kids trying to maintain a good moral code. Grace is committed to bringing children up from their sin. Legalism puts them on a high standard and works overtime to keep them from falling down. Grace understands that the only real solution for our children's sin is the work of Christ on their behalf. Legalism uses outside forces to help children maintain their moral walk. Their strength is based on the environment they live in. Grace, on the other hand, sees the strength of children by what is inside them, more specifically, who is inside them. And so we're not defining our kids by their sin, by their mistakes, but we're trying to tap into that power of Christ who is inside them. And so hopefully we can walk away from this feeling like, you know, we can be encouraged as moms. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up, but it's okay. God is with us. He's working through us. He has given us a big calling. He's given us a huge calling that is something that we should enjoy and love, but it's not something that we are doing alone. We have a community to do this with, and we get to work together. And most importantly, yeah, we have God working in our kids' lives, and we need to come back under that. So here's some books that I looked at, A Mother's Heart and Give Them Grace. So there's some resources, but wanted to open it up just to talk about this. I'm sure maybe there's other ways people have felt like they've struggled with this, or if there's anything else that people feel like they want to share about what they've understood about God's grace, that'd be awesome. But we could open it up for some discussion for a bit if anyone has anything they want to say.
Not really a question, but I just wanted to say I really loved what you had to say. It's probably one of the first times I've heard to like look at your kids and not be surprised by them making mistakes or being sinful. But it makes sense because I get surprised when I sin. So I don't know. I just felt like that was really refreshing to hear, and it's really encouraging. I've really admired watching you raise your kids from afar and know that you have strong-willed children just like I do. So it's just encouraging. So I just wanted to thank you.
Yeah, totally. I feel like I've had to learn a lot of that through having strong-willed children.
I really liked what you had to say about the importance of not creating a false dichotomy between discipline and love. And I think, like, how much we care about really getting something done in this life can easily translate and slip into a performance mentality. Yeah. And because we care about real goals and real results, you know, we get our identity confused with that. And to react against that and say, you know, being under grace means we don't really care as much about accomplishing something really important to us would, to me, be a false dichotomy. Yeah. And so I love your point. And I think there are parallels, too, for our view of our work with just God's people and the things we want to accomplish in our work for God and the things we want to accomplish in parenting and how awesome it is to realize that under grace is where you can really be mobilized and unleashed to care more about real goals and results than ever, but with a whole new motivation, like you said.
Yeah, that's sweet. Thanks, Leslie.
So thank you for this teaching. I found myself under law through this whole thing. It's really hard to put myself under grace. Mm-hmm. I'm a perfectionist. I like to perform. I like grace. And when my daughter started preschool, and now she's at Harambe all day long, and she doesn't get into timeouts. She doesn't, she's a great student. Everyone loves her. But when she comes home, she's something else.
Yeah.
And I don't, and everyone said, and I don't know how to get it across my mind. And I also go to counseling, and it's really hard to understand. She's safe at home. Mm-hmm. She knows you. She, I bet you other moms struggle with this.
Oh, yeah.
They have, or their child is not good at home or something like that. And it's really hard to understand what you're doing as a parent at home and what the teacher is doing.
Yeah. I actually was a preschool teacher too before I had kids, and I remember so many of the moms, we were like, they had a great day, they did awesome, and they would just be like, how come when I get home at night they are falling apart, they're a mess, what am I doing wrong? And it's like, well, probably most of it is because they feel most comfortable with you as their mom. I mean, and maybe in some ways it can be an encouragement because it's like they feel secure. They know that they're loved no matter how they act, so we can take some encouragement from that. But yeah, I mean, we have to come under grace and know that like we're not the cause of our kids' misbehavior, and they're going to be like that. And yeah, understanding, you know, I guess we need, you know, trying to be consistent, trying to continue to show love. But yeah, we have to. I think in some ways we can take some encouragement from that this is like our kids view us as a safe place. And yeah, it is really tough. You are definitely not alone in that. I felt like that with my kids too when they were in preschool. It was just like, they're so great. And I was like, man, that's hard because it doesn't feel like that at home. So I must be doing something wrong. And that's not the message we should take from that.
I thought your point about being really patient with kids is super important. Like, I have a 3-year-old at home, and half the time just really annoyed with his behavior. I mean, it's just stuff where I'm like, why did you do this, you know? But I also have an older kid, like an almost 6-year-old, and I realize I think it's really easy for me to like lump my expectations, like, hey, my older kid can do this. Mm-hmm. You're the middle child. You can kind of keep up now, you know? And
yeah.
I think I forget, like, he's 3. Of course he's going to like do all these crazy things. And so I think that was a good reminder. And lately I've been trying to pray through like encouragement, like, hey, let me think through Henry and think through all the cool things that like God's doing in his life, or like have a vision just for him.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to take that time to really consider each kid, especially when you have a big family.
Oh, yeah.
and really pray through each one of them individually so that, like, you know what I mean, you're not quite as impatient and just lumping them together or something.
I think that's a really great point. And in A Mother's Heart, she has a chapter where she talks about, like, praying through each of our kids so that we're not, like, kind of lumping them together because, you know, you have a new baby too. So there's a lot of pressure. But, you know, each of our kids are different, unique creatures that God created. And so we need to pray through each of them and see they have different strengths. They have different weaknesses. How can I encourage and nurture this child and his strengths and weaknesses? And how can I do that with this child who's totally different and different things work and they're in a different stage of life? So yeah, I think that's a really, really good thing to remember. Yeah.
Hey, I was just going to say, I really appreciate what you said about community. And I know as now that I have teenagers and, you know, 20-year-olds, young 20-year-olds, I look back and I'm really grateful for the people that, you know, were God used in my kids' lives, and just knowing that I couldn't have done this on my own.
Yeah.
And just that the areas that I was weak in, that God put people in my life that were strong in, and I could be able to look at this person as an example and, you know, just to know that we can't do this alone. And I think another thing about just really being open with others about your struggles, because it's so hard, it's so easy for us to put ourselves under law and to feel like we should be able to do all this stuff, and we can't. And that God knew we couldn't, and so that's why he's given us the body of Christ. And that, you know, so many people have reminded me about God's grace when I'm beating myself up and feeling like a failure. And it's just so nice to know that people care about my kids, they're praying for my kids, and that, you know, I look at any, you know, any credit to my kids is because of all the people God has put in their life.
Yeah, that's so awesome. That's such a great point. I felt that same way too, just so thankful. I remember feeling so guilty about struggling with being mad at my kids, and I went to my cousin who's a mom, and I was telling her, and she's like, yeah, that happens. And I was just like, I just had never told anyone that I was like doing, like feeling so bad about this thing. And then I was like, oh my gosh, the pressure of feeling so guilty was just like released, and being able to open up and talk about our struggles and get the support is just so crucial, I think, for us to be able to come under grace.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
I'm pregnant and had a long morning, so I'm going to try and not be emotional like you did.
It's okay.
You're
emotional.
I remember a couple years ago before I was a mom that, or a servant team retreat that we all went on, and there was a mom that stood up and shared and was talking about just like being overwhelmed at being a mom and leading and feeling like a failure. And I remember Dennis like responded to her, like, your kids are the most important disciples you're ever going to have. And like that just stuck out to me so much, and it's like still embedded in my heart, and I'm really grateful that it is. And I didn't know if you had any like tips on how to think of your kids that way. As disciples, because I think I just have a very narrow view of maybe what that looks like just in my own life. And looking at a 3-year-old that is spirited, I don't feel like he's my disciple by any means. So he's the opposite, it feels like. So I didn't know if you had any wisdom to that point at all.
I'm not sure. Experience. Maybe some other people have some thoughts on that. Oh, there we go. I've definitely kind of struggled with understanding that as well, because I'm not disciplining, like putting my disciples in time out, you know? So I'm like, it doesn't feel like the same. But I think trying to make God real in our kids' lives, trying to teach them about God, and also part of that is showing them that we still do engage in ministry. We're teaching them through how we live. So I mean, that's kind of how I feel like right now. I mean, we have such young kids. It's not like we can sit down and do an inductive study with them. You know, it's like we're reading Bible stories. We're trying to teach them the basics about God's grace and love. At least, I mean, that's kind of still the stage I'm in. Maybe people have older kids, but I feel like that's kind of still where I am. So I still don't know what that's going to look like as my kids get older, but I feel like we're starting to expand more on like deeper truths about God as they're getting older. I don't know. That's kind of my thought. And then I think there was a care group teaching on how to like talk to your kids about God, like a last time, Paul Alexander. So yeah, that could be helpful too, to maybe, I don't know, listen to that. But yeah,
I think for me, in that regard of like thinking of my kids as my disciples, something that God has been trying to show me, because something that I really struggle with is enjoying being a mother. And I think that lately God has just been trying to teach me that it doesn't, them being my disciples doesn't necessarily only encompass when we're talking about God, you know? It encompasses changing their diapers. Yeah. It encompasses caring for, you know, making their meals and things like that. And that it's really just more about loving them through it all, you know? And it's not just about those times that we sit down and talk about God.
Right.
It's in the mundane stuff. And, it's really hard and difficult, and I'm really struggling with it a lot right now, but this one isn't mine.
I was like, what are you doing?
My three are upstairs, but I think that that's just what God has been trying to teach me, that it's not just in those times, but that it's all of it, and that every bit of work is important.
Yes. I think that's such a good point, especially in the, like, when we have young kids who are at home a lot, there is so much that can feel overwhelming, or like, why, what am I even doing? But we're setting the foundation through our love, through our care for them for the rest of their lives. And it is so important. It is so valuable. It's like every diaper I change is like me, you know, showing my kid my love, you know, when I'm making them food and I'm cleaning them up, you know, we're taking care of them. We're kind of, in a sense, putting the skin on God, like she talks about in that book. We're showing them like the reality of God's love through how, you know, we take care of our kids. So I think that's a really, really good reminder. Just even the mundane things, we're laying that foundation for our kids' lives. And it is really important. And it is really important to God. And he values that when we do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Something to that point as well that I think God's really been helping me with lately, as far as viewing my kids as my disciples, is thinking back to when I lived in the ministry house with people I was discipling and what that looked like. Just like modeling my life to them, and the amount of time that I would spend just cooking a meal with them or sitting down and watching TV or catching up, as opposed to the amount of time we'd actually spend talking about God. But then also that we did have that very intentional time. And I do want to also put in a plug for Last Time's Teaching by Paul Alexander. We've started using what he talked about with our three-year-old, even just like asking questions when we read through her storybook Bible. And it's been crazy to me the sort of responses we've gotten from her at 3 years old of like, and she, my kids just came, they're my foster children, so they've lived with us for 5 months, but like 5 months ago, she had never heard of God or Jesus. And already she's like, has these amazing insights into that God loves her even when she throws her toys at her brother or, you know, whatever. And
that's good.
I wanted to answer that part about viewing your kids as your disciples, because I really like discipling people. And I was just thinking, you know, right from the first time, like, we start getting together and meeting, like, we get into the Word, we read books, you know, we pray about ministry and things like that. We do a lot of the functional stuff. But I know that I'm not going to be able to really get my disciple to, like, the next level unless I bond with them. And I'm, like, a slow-to-warm-up kind of person, so I don't always, like, click with people right away. And I just know I gotta like, keep showing up and keep, like, faithfully meeting with this person. And eventually, we are going to bond together and form that trust. And then that will lead to, like, you know, hopefully, like, a greater influence in this person's life and, like, pushing them towards God. So I think that you could compare that to maybe in your parenting, like, realizing, okay, there's a lot of functional, really important stuff. I need to keep doing that. But eventually, you know, obviously, like, the most important thing I can do now in these early stages is to bond with my kid and love them so much and enjoy parenting, like you said. And then, like, you know, when we have that sweet bond later, like, when it's time to maybe make some, like, more advanced spiritual decisions and stuff, they'll actually listen to what I'm saying.
That's awesome. That's really, really good insight. And I think even for the moms with the little babies doing those mundane things, we can know, like,
changing our diapers and doing all these things are times that we can use for bonding and can help us to like engage with our kids. So we can do that from a young age. And yeah, I really like that point that we're, if we have that super tight bond, like they're going to listen, they're going to respect what we have to say when we speak into their lives. I think that's great. Yeah, Kate.
I really agree with Brett, and I am at the phase now where I'm finally like starting to study with my daughter for the first time. And I think like intentional time with her throughout her life has been something that God has really used so that she's excited to study. She wants to spend time with me. Like she's bringing me the book and we're not consistent. And like, and I'm not consistent in discipleship right now either. But like, I think being flexible, being like really grace focused and just like Brett said, trying to spend time with your kids in an intentional way, whether they're 2 or 8 or whatever, is something that God can really use to like build that relationship. And then you have like influence if they want to spend time with you and enjoy you and stuff.
That's awesome. Thanks, Kate. Good. Okay. Well, I'm just going to pray for us and then do what we do. Well, Lord, we just thank you so much that you died for us, Lord, and that you died for our kids. And thank you that, you know, this calling that you've given us is not something that we're doing on our own, that we have you, we have this awesome community, Lord, and it's not dependent on our performance. So we just pray, Lord, that you can help us to come under grace. We're going to struggle with this, you know, probably for the rest of our lives. And so we just pray that you can help continue to teach us what it means to be under grace as parents and help us to, in the best way we can, to show our kids that grace through how we live, God, through how we parent. So thank you so much for the gift that you've given us of having children, and we just thank you that you are so involved in their lives, and we just want to put them in your hands, Lord, and trust that you're going to be taking care of them as we're trying to work alongside you. Amen.